3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. All right, so we're back again with Christine and Gerard. Last week, Christine shared a testimony about overcoming and being set free from, what do you call it? Psychosis. Or a whole bunch of stuff. But praise God.
If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, listen to it.
Get your tissue box, mate.
Yeah, listen to it. If you're listening to this one first, go back and listen to that one first. And yeah, and then come back here.
Yeah, this is part two.
Yeah. All right, so this episode, we're going to be talking about how to overcome. Because the first step is going to Jesus, and he'll set you free. So in my experience, if and you guys can agree or disagree, and just tell me if you disagree. And my experience, I was set free radically, and I was like really happy, supernaturally happy, for like 2 months. It was like crazy, like nothing could bother me, you know what I mean? And then thoughts came back, and then it's like, oh, what the heck? I thought I was free, but yeah, as I said in the last podcast, it's something outside that's trying to come back in. So it's not all rainbows and sunshine after you're set free. It's not all perfect. It's still a battle, but it's a winning battle. You're already a winner. And a lot of the battle is just remembering who you are and that you've won. And this is an external thing coming back in. So I wanted to talk about some attitudes, some keys, some strategies, some Bible verses that we've used to break through and continually overcome and continually stay steady in the right trajectory, in the right path. So, Gerard.
All right. If you got your Bibles, please open up to Philippians 4. It's a bit of context. I believe I became a very anxious person after my mum passed away. The whole procedure of finding out whether she was getting better or worse built anxiety in me, and the stress of HSC and stuff like that, getting results, and yeah, it just kept getting worse. Anxiety was a big, big thing. Like, it got to a point where if someone knocked at the door, I thought they were trying to murder me. Like, it got that bad. So I was a very anxious person, but this Philippians verse is something I confessed on the daily. So this is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, first step is, don't be anxious.
Yeah.
But in everything, what do you have to do? You got to pray. You got to make supplications. You got to be thankful. You got to make your requests be made known to God. Yeah. And then after you do these things, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you won't even understand how you got peace. Mm. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So this peace, the word God, when you think God, the thing that comes up into my mind is the Seki, securities, mate. They are usually huge, very scary looking, but they'll guard. Another thing is, if there's something valuable at an art gallery or something, the security is super tight around that art piece, and they won't let anyone or anything go near that or try and touch it. So that is what happens when you pray, you make supplication, and you are thankful, and you make your request be made known to God. God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Now, the next verse, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mm. So you got to switch up your thinking. There's this really common saying. It goes like, you can't stop the birds from swooping your head, but you can stop them from making a nest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's go to another verse. It's in Corinthians. Sorry, give me one sec.
So I'll just add on to that verse you just mentioned. So when we went to the country to help out Pastor Paul, he was talking about guarding your heart, like staying on guard, because Yeah. After you're set free, there's always like, there's always an opposition. You always have opposition, especially now that you're set free, now that you're a threat to the devil. He wants to get rid of your destiny. He wants to get you off the path and back to being a loser, being ineffective. So he'll send like distractions, he'll send deception in order to get you to lose it again. And he said, you've got to keep your guard up. And he was talking about how demons, when a spirit is cast out of a man, they look for an arid place, and then they come back to see if everything, once everything's in order, and they want to come back in. They're looking to come back in.
Seven more deadly spirits. Yeah.
So actually it gets worse. Yeah. So you got to be, yeah. So when you feel that freedom, be aware of that. It'll get worse unless you stay on guard, unless you get filled with the truth.
Yes.
So I got a revelation from reading this verse, because he was saying to keep on guard. So Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And in other translations, all the issues of life flow from your heart. So guard your heart. And then my question was, how do I guard it? And that verse is the verse that Gerard just read, starting from 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I'm like, oh, okay. So what am I anxious about, you know? Mm. Is it money? Is it what people are thinking about me? Whatever you could be anxious about, whatever you could be mindful of, pray about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to God about it. God wants to know. He's not only about the big things. He wants you to talk about every detail in his life.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yes.
So how much is all? You know, it doesn't leave out anything.
Yeah.
Cast everything to him because he cares for you. So yeah, that's how you guide your heart. Yeah. Go on.
So, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I confess this scripture a lot of the time during the day. Lots of times during the day, because there's thoughts that go in there. You know, Jesus says, out of the heart of man comes evil thinking, you know, adultery, all this different stuff. And when those thoughts come, I know it's not me, because I know I've been set free from it.
Yeah.
So I literally take that thought captive. Sometimes I visualize the thought and I see it being completely tied up by a rope, by chains, putting a muzzle on it and just getting booted out of my head. Send it to kingdom come, you know? So I picture that, and going back to the anxiety thing, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, you know, the verse. Okay. So what does a prayer when you do that sound like? Well, for me, it sounds like this. Father, I am anxious about this. Let's say finance. Father, I don't know where my money's coming from. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. Father, I'm anxious, but Lord, I know your word says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, I'll let my request be made known to you. And your peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So Lord, this is where the thankfulness comes in. Thank you. And then you start confessing scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So in Jesus' name, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, I will think about these things. Mm-hmm. So you get all these different scriptures that there's so many things. Even in the Old Testament, Proverbs. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. I have it in the Amplified. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you become what you think. When you're alone with your thoughts, what do you think about yourself? Being a youth leader with Christine, we were talking about faith right now. Mm-hmm. What the topic is, faith with the kids. And we were talking about words of faith. And at the end, we got the kids to write down a couple things. Number one was, think of a time where you spoke positively about yourself.
Mm.
Number two, think of a time where you spoke negatively about yourself. And then the list goes on. Think of a time when you spoke positively about a person, encourage somebody, discourage somebody, all that stuff. We only did a few. A lot of the kids found that they hardly ever say anything good about themselves, which is very sad, because they're lovely kids. it's sad because they don't see him that see themselves that way, the way the gospel shows them, the way the New Testament says, the way that God says that they are. One of the kids actually realizes, like, wow, that's, I need to be more positive. This is really sad. You know, we had a laugh about it. I'm like, yeah, dude, like, it's very eye-opening, isn't it? And he was like, yeah, definitely. There is more stuff about being discouraging towards themselves than there was about, than there was in comparison to being positive. Mm. Hardly any of the, one example was our pastor Larry. He told me one time, he's like, oh, you know, Gerard, in the morning, I look at myself in the mirror and tell myself, you're handsome. You're a child of God. Mm. You know, he's telling himself all these things and it's weird. I tried doing it and it was weird. It was weird for me because I've never done that before in my life. Mm-hmm. I've looked at myself. There was this really dark moment I shared with the kids as well, because we're super transparent with them. We don't beat around the bush. We tell it how it is. I told them, me and Christine were going through a really rough patch. I remember looking at myself in the mirror one time and I said to myself, if she leaves you, I understand. I felt so disgusting. Even while I was saying that, after saying that, I just felt even more heavier. Hmm. Instead of confessing scripture over myself and Christine and over the situation, I let the devil have what he wanted in the first place, division. I let the devil have division over me and Christine. I let the devil have what he wanted. And he's like, haha, yes, yes. Hmm. This is exactly what I wanted. Hmm. No powerhouse for you. And then I believe that the devil is a liar. People have to understand that the devil is a liar. And if he tells you, right, that you're worthless, it's not going to sound like, oh, you're worthless. You know, he doesn't have that weird voice in your head. You know, it's not like that. It sounds like you.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it'll sound personalized, like, man, I look ugly today. Man, I'm getting a little chunky. I'm so fat. I'm so dumb. I'm worthless. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I'm so alone. All this different stuff, right? And the best advice I can give you is go through the New Testament, go through the prophets, and highlight and underline everything that has to do with your identity. If you know who you are in Christ, whatever the devil throws at you is going to be like water off a duck's back. Mm. It's going to hurt sometimes, yeah, but that's what the shield of faith is for. Mm-hmm. Take up the shield of faith. So by it, you'll extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy.
Yeah.
The shield of faith is important. Put on the whole armor of God. There's so many different scriptures, but I'm going to give everyone else a chance to talk because I feel like I'm hogging it.
What do you got, Christine?
Oh, hey, repeat the question.
So... All right, I'll rephrase the question. So we talked about not staying sad. So it's okay to be sad, mm-hmm. but not okay to stay sad. So how do you not stay sad? How do you get out of that?
Dang. You kind of said what I wanted to say, but I did say it in the other one, last week's one. Just like knowing who you are in Christ and knowing who your identity is. Hmm. Identity. Hmm. What your identity is. Developing a good relationship with God.
Mm.
Yeah. And just taking God's opinion over anyone else's, I think really helps. Another big thing with me when I was going through it was that I didn't feel like I was in control of my body. And I felt like I wasn't in it. Like I just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel present or in the moment. I just didn't feel like I had any power. And a big thing is when you are realizing your identity in Christ, one of the big things I realized was that I have authority and I have power.
Mm.
And I would read scriptures about like power and like, like, yeah, I can do this. Like I'm in control of my body. My body listens to me.
Yeah.
So... yeah, sometimes I just wanted, I felt like I had to harm myself just because I deserved it or some stupid stuff like that.
Mm.
And I would get a lot of voices. They weren't necessarily mine. just like demons, not good stuff. I had voices, I had like bad dreams, just like, or sounds that were there, I... really called. I could hear stuff that no one else could hear. Like, I was very paranoid. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone was out against me, all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to be in control of my situation, but I didn't feel in control of anything. But I remember reading a verse, and I'm not very, like, maybe as well read as you guys, I have to be honest, but like I did have a couple of verses, and I think that to anyone who doesn't maybe feel like they read as much as you should, that doesn't mean that what you have read is not good.
That's right.
Yes.
So
tell them, girl.
Yeah, but that but don't, just because I'm saying that you don't have to read the Bible that much to know what you're doing. Read your Bible. Yeah. Still read your Bible, but yeah. Don't put yourself down because you don't know as much as other people.
Yeah.
We're all on our own journey. Mm. We all have our own relationship. It's our own race.
Yes.
We are not competing against each other.
Yeah.
So remember that as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember reading a verse that made me feel so powerful. And what was it? It was like, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Jeez.
Yeah, Pastor Rod would share this a lot. He'd like say, the enemy is your footstool. And I was like, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I forgot about that verse. It was when I was like early Christian and we had evangelism training.
Hmm.
And I just felt real cool.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot that, forgot about all that like during high school and like all the illness and all that stuff. But then this really brought me back and I was like, hey, remember who you are. Remember what you are capable of through Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I remember looking back at this and whenever I'd get like a panic attack or I'd just be anxious, I'd get so mad at the devil. I'd be like, you are under my feet.
Mm.
You are my footstool. I have control over you.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
Mm.
There's nothing to do with you.
Yes and amen.
Yeah. So remembering that you have authority is, I think, crucial.
Yeah. Knowing your authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What else? I think also be very aware of your surroundings, what you fill yourself up with as well. Because, hey, it comes back for a reason.
Yeah.
So what are you filling yourself up with? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
So if I had like a panic attack or something, I'd be like, "Well, that was weird. I thought I'm supposed to be good now. What's going on, God? What did you do?" But you know, he is who he is. He's the same. What did you do? what you been doing?
Well,
we keep blaming God for like stuff. You're like, "You said I'm healed," and he's like, "You are healed. What you been doing? It's on you." So I had to look back. I had to look back at what I was doing, and hey, like I'd see like my attitude wasn't great.
Yeah.
I'd be talking myself down a lot, like he was saying, like, "Oh, hey, that's so stupid. All the stuff I'm doing is so stupid. This isn't worth it." Like, and I'm like, "Oh, what am I even doing? This isn't." And like, all those thoughts would come. You're just walking it back in. It doesn't come back. Hey, quickly, it builds up.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah, what are you filling yourself up with?
Yeah.
One of the guys I work with, my client, happiest guy. We'd have banter and stuff like that. And in 1 week, he was just so out of it. I was like, "Bro, what's going on?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know, man. I just feel so sad." I'm like, "Have you been, was it something your parents said? Was it something happened at school? Was it something that happened like circumstance wise, blah, blah, blah?" He's like, "Nah, I don't know, man." It's like all this different stuff. And then I think it was before I started teaching him drums that day, he was listening to something that was like some edgy rapper who's like super depressed and glorifying it. I was like, that makes sense. That makes sense. I was like, "Hey, bro, do you think that's appropriate for you to be listening to if you're sad?"
Mm.
And he's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, well, just know that everything that you feed yourself with, you become."
Mm.
Like there's a Nutri-Grain slogan is, what is it? You only get out what you put in. So what are you putting in? What are you? Sponsor. What are you putting into yourself? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of your heart. You know, everything you say comes from your head first. From your heart first, sorry. What you think about will come out of your head because you've sunk it down into your soul so bad that you actually believe it.
Mm.
And all these different things, like having these different songs. Like, man, when I was growing up, Blink 182, Fall Out Boy, Green Day, like it was a bop, 100%. It was like, like, oh yeah, I'm so sad, yeah. You know, My Chemical Romance, like the famous song, The Black Parade, right? Like I identified with all that stuff and I was like, yeah. And it's cool. And I thought it was cool that the lead singer of My Chemical Romance, his name is Gerard as well. I was like, yes,
okay.
I'm as depressed as he is, you know? And it's all this, it's cool to listen to these songs, and it's cool to identify with band t-shirts and whatever and be part of a, you know, a community of people who love the band the same way you do. And the trend hasn't changed.
Mm.
Now it's like, it's still like, even in like the stuff our parents listen to, it's about breakup songs.
Yeah.
It's about my man left me, my woman cheated on me, and all this different stuff. And it's like subliminal messaging, and people are singing it and confessing it in their homes, at karaoke, you know, they're like, fillers love karaoke. They're singing these breaking up songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And next minute there's problems in the house. There's problems in the relationships between husband and wife. Adultery comes in, you know, there's all these different things that happen because of one silly song.
Yeah.
That you sing along to.
Yeah.
Silly.
It's the truth. It's because I remember listening to, I was a kid at the time, and I, you know, I think my parents got mad at me for not washing the dishes, and I took it to heart because I was an angsty teen and whatever, you know. I just remember sitting outside on the steps, listening to my, what was it? iPod Nanos. Listen to my iPod Nano. You still had to plug them in back in those days, the earphones. And I was just listening to this song, and it was just so depressing. And I felt the emptiness inside of me. I was like, you know what? Stuff my parents and stuff like that, you know? And, you know, stuff my life. Like all these different things. And you know what as well? The things, the lingo and the popular things to say nowadays as well. When I was growing up, it was FML, like F my life and stuff. And, you know, I'm dead, I'm dying and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
These things to say that you're laughing and stuff, it's confession.
Yeah, it is.
It might, like you, oh, Gerard, you're just nitpicking. No, because I lived it, bro. Yeah. I lived it.
Yeah.
I lived confessing these things over myself, and I found that what I confessed, I became.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe that. Well, okay, go on.
Yeah.
Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
And you're going to eat its fruits, whatever you say.
Yeah, yeah.
And
think of your heart as a garden. And then whatever you speak is a seed.
Yeah.
So
Jesus actually says, oh, what does he say, Rick? I just lost my train of thought because you interrupted me right now. I'm just kidding.
Mate.
Let him finish.
Cut this out.
No, mate. So those who love it will eat the fruit, right? Yeah, so it starts off as a seed.
Mm.
So everything you say is a seed. So imagine if you're singing, I've become so and it's in your head. I used to sing that all the time, and looking back, I was a very numb kid.
Very numb person.
I was very dull and very dead. And of course, it's because of what I was saying, it's because of what I was listening to and all that stuff. So on the flip side, listen to good songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, it's what comes out.
Yeah.
What you let out, it's been there in your heart already.
Yeah.
One of the pastors I listen to, Dr. Sandra Kennedy, she says it like this. Adultery didn't just suddenly go into your car one morning.
Mm.
It crept in. You thought about it.
Yeah.
It started with a thought. Dr. Caroline Leaf said this as well. It starts with a thought.
Yeah.
It always starts here. And every sin is voluntary.
Yeah.
So you, like Christine said, you got to be careful with what you put into yourself. If it's not edifying you, there's this meme, like the song's fire, but it's not edifying your relationship with the Lord. And it's got some dude whipping and like, he's thinking about it at the same time. Like, yeah, there's like fun songs. Look, the secular world Yeah, there's like some bops to listen to and stuff. There's some fun music out there, 100%. But a lot of it is super demonic. Why? Because it's the god of this world, the god of this world system. It's Satan behind it all. You won't find Christians worshiping like statues and saying like talking about booties and money and hella hoes and whatever. You know what I mean? They're gonna glorify God, and when they glorify God, God imparts something into them. That's what happens in a relationship. It's a impartation of power.
Yeah.
When you are in a right relationship with God, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father." Mm-hmm. Not from the mouth of Biggie Smalls, not from the mouth of Post Malone, Nicki Minaj, who else is there? Her, you know, all these different artists that have good music. One of my favorite artists of all time is John Mayer, but he's not gonna give me eternal life. He's not. He's a master on the guitar, but he's not gonna be there when I'm up there in front of Jesus on Judgment Day.
Mm.
That's the reality. What I let in is going to affect my heart, and it's going to affect the way I think. I remember a turning point in my life was I decided not to listen to songs with swear words in them. And it shifted.
Mm.
Because from someone who swore every second word, it radically changed when I made that decision. It was amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, you only get out what you put in, mate.
Yeah. So listen to good songs. What are good songs? I like one of the songs I really like right now is "I Thank God."
Yes.
Because it's like that whole, all the lyrics is just my testimony, and I just like rehearsing my testimony, like remembering where you came from and remembering that God set you free. Just remembering all the past victories will help you overcome. That's what David did. When he had a giant in front of him, he recalled all of his past victories.
Mm.
So, yeah, do that when you've got a giant in front of you, giant of depression, giant of anxiety, or any of that other stuff. Recall when God set you free. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to stand against my God? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you do that. Because God is so big. One of the verses that made me laugh was, if you submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Amazing. So that devil is a chicken, like he's a coward. I don't want to swear, but he's nothing. He's nothing.
Definitely don't swear. Not in this Christian
podcast. I don't know. Some people that's a swear, but yeah. Like the devil's nothing. He's not a threat. He's not a threat to you. So the hearing voices and all that stuff and the demonic stuff, God is heaps bigger. God is king, you know. He is the master of the universe and he loves you, you know. Crazy. Like when you think about that stuff and you magnify him, all of a sudden whatever the problem is, no matter how big the problem is, it seems tiny in the face of how big and how amazing and how capable and how perfect God is.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the issues of life seem dim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like turn your eyes upon Jesus. Wow. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
great hymn.
Amazing.
The hymns are really good, man.
Yeah, it's good. So to overcome, use your words. So it's not going to be won by, like, this is all spiritual warfare, and your weapon is your tongue. That's the sword of the spirit. So your weapon is not your thoughts. You're not just going to think your way out of it. So I used to be that way. I just get stuck in my own head. I don't speak. And then I'd spiral down. But learn from me. You got to speak it out.
Yeah.
And another thing, something that you can learn from me is not to isolate yourself.
Yes.
So I left church. I left everyone because I wanted to, I don't know. I don't know what was going on. Devil just deceived me, tricked me into thinking that was the right move, but that's not the right move. Like, of course, I had to reach the end of myself and, like, you know, God still picked me up from that place, but I didn't have to take that long to come back, you know. It took maybe 6 months until I received freedom. But if I was around people that loved me, if I stayed and I was around the people and they were able to minister to me and I was able to, and I listened to them, I would have saved so much more time. Yeah. You know, like in the 6 months where I was inactive and ineffective, how many opportunities went by? So learn from me, learn from that mistake. So when you're going through that stuff, it feels so right to isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. And get it sorted and then come back. But the Bible says, do not neglect the meeting of the brethren, as many of you have already. So I was talking with someone and they wanted to isolate themselves. But then I'm like, no, don't do that. So many people have said that and they haven't come back. And I was like, think about this, all right? You have how many hours in the day and you want to skip that certain part of the day because you want to spend time with God? You have so much time to get it sorted and then come to the meeting. So you're avoiding the meeting for some reason and you've got to confront it. You've got to be around people. It's good to be around people, especially good counsel, godly counsel, because they yes. can see your blind spots.
Yeah, just to go off of that, bro, there's a verse to what you just said, Proverbs 18:1 in the Amplified. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. Wow. So in the English Standard Version, ESV, it says, the part that says willfully separated and estranges himself, it says isolates himself. He who isolates himself. So when you isolate yourself and you're not inside godly counsel, it's super dangerous.
Yeah.
Like Jello, I was deceived as well to be by myself, and it feels right to be alone and try to manage your thoughts. Mm. But it's managing your thoughts is healthy, 100%. But if you're doing it at the wrong time, in the wrong place, with the wrong heart attitude, then it's a world of trouble.
Yeah.
You can sit alone and one thing turns to another, the whole atmosphere changes and next minute you just want to kill yourself.
The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And a lion doesn't attack a herd.
Yeah.
He attacks the stragglers, the one that's by themselves.
Yeah.
So don't be by yourself, man.
Yeah.
Fine. Go back. If you're avoiding church, go back there, man. And or if you're avoiding your youth group, go back. This is your sign.
This is your sign. Back.
It'll hurt. Like it's everything in you will say, no, no, but go back. It's the right decision.
It is.
Truly is. Because the people there care for you. You're obeying the Bible by doing that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to add one of my revelations when it comes to staying on the path. So what God told me the other week was, he just rebuked me. He's like, you're not loving people. You're not loving people like you used to. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're loving people so that you'll be free. I'm like, oh, you're right. And like, immediately I remembered, love does not seek its own. And my motive for loving people was so that I would feel good, that I love them, that I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as it becomes inconvenient, I stop loving them. As soon as I get a customer that's really rude, stuff them. Or if someone cuts me off, you know, I'd act like I love them, but in my heart, done so.
Yeah.
They're done to me. They're dead to me. Or like I get frustrated at friends. And like when it's inconvenient for me to love them, I stop loving them. And God showed that to me. And I'm like, you're right. I repent. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And now it's just all about them. Like, love does not seek its own. It's all about, you know, thinking about them. Like, what do they need? How can you help them out? You know, it's not about looking after yourself in a way. Because the only way you can do that. So we love because he loved us first.
Yep.
So if you don't have that foundation, you'll dry up. You see that in the world where they say you have to work on yourself first before you love, otherwise you'll dry up, and that's true.
Yeah.
You know? But when you get overwhelmed by God's love, it's so easy to love. Like, you don't care if you get rejected, you don't care if they don't respond well, if they misunderstand your love, or if they, you know, they accuse you of like whatever, because, you know, like, God loves me. It's not an issue to me. I'll love you. And that's where true freedom comes from. And so I'll bring up this other verse in Ephesians 3:19. It says, to know the love that surpasses knowledge. Let's start. 3:19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So once you know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, you are filled with the fullness of God. And the way I picture it is, heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. So he's giant. He's a, like, unfathomably big. And he is living in me. He's living in little old me. And, like, that's enough to just get my mind off of whatever hurt, whatever offense, whatever, you know, thing is trying to come against me. God is in me, you know. That God of that size, of that majesty is in me. And I'm loving the way he loves. And then that's where the freedom comes in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because all of us have gone through this. I want to ask two questions, actually. One is, what are things that people did that helped you overcome? And two, what are things that people did that caused you to get worse in that whole depressive state?
Say again.
First question is, what are things that people did that helped you get over that depressive state? And the second one is, what did people do that made your situation worse?
Okay. What made it better, I think, was probably the people who knew me, or really knew me, they are aware of what I am comfortable with and what I'm not, especially if I'm in such a sensitive mental state. I don't want to, at the time, I wouldn't want to be bombarded with like Bible bashing and like all that stuff. But being just, sometimes you don't have to talk about Jesus to show Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
As long as you are compassionate towards that person, or you are listening, or you are just loving on that person, and you know that you are making them aware of your presence and that you're there for them. I think that helped me a lot. And also the fact that people were praying for me, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know. Like, you were praying for me, you didn't tell me. Glada was praying for me, she didn't tell me. Like, behind the scenes, people are still for you.
Yeah.
That when I came to know that really like made me feel so loved. And yeah, I guess that answers the other question as well. It's like, don't be too pushy. If they don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. And the more that you are just ramming God's love down their throat, as loving as your intention might be, it can harm them in the long run. I remember I used to feel really disheartened by it, because I used to think that like, it's too much. God loves too much. It's too overwhelming. Like, I don't want it. Or like, I'd come here, I'd go to like Bible study or something, and then just if I'd share that I was maybe feeling some type of way, and then people would respond to that by sharing their experience when I didn't ask for their experience, it made me feel like okay, you're not listening to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about you now. When did I ask? Yeah. Just, I think being aware of that person's needs.
Mm.
Like, some people do want that. They want to hear your experience and they want to hear your opinion. Some people just want someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And that was me. Yeah. Was that the question?
Yeah, definitely. Jello.
It might be just, I don't know if it's exclusively just me, but what steered me away was people all of a sudden talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like they had
the attention.
Where were you?
Yeah. I get you.
And then now you see me like sad, all of a sudden you want to talk to me. Just stuff like that. I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was in that state, like, just all of a sudden, like, you message me, where were you? Like, why is it now? And then in my head, I reasoned that as, oh, you guys are fake. Like, you're just doing that because
I remember that.
You're scared.
Yeah.
You're scared that I might do something stupid and it'll affect you. And that's how I thought about it. And that's in a twisted mental state.
Yeah.
In the state I am in right now, you know, that's not, like, I don't see it that way. But I know, just from memory, that that's what I felt. And then another thing was people trying to force their happiness on me, where, you rejoice with people who are rejoicing and mourn with people who are mourning. And I felt like people are trying to be happy around me, try to, you know, infect me with that joy. But I'm like, why are you so happy? Why do you think, like, I was just so angry at them
for being happy.
Like, yeah, like it was just so bad. Something that helped was definitely, like, in the moment, feeling it. When Pastor Rod yelled at me, I hated it. But in hindsight, I needed that because I remember
it. Was this when you were on the...
Yeah, I was on the floor groveling.
Oh,
he's
man.
Like, shut up! Like, get up!
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, man.
I remember at the time, I was acting. I was like...
Well, I wasn't there, so you need to say what happened.
So I was just...
He was like... He was like super sad and stuff. And I was like, oh man, here we go. And he's like, where were you guys? I needed you. You guys weren't there and stuff.
Yeah. And then, I was just basically letting it all out. I'm like, you guys are fake. No, you're not really my friends. You don't care about me. And then Pastor Rod's like, shut up. Like, ooh. Really loud. You can stay in this mindset forever until you die. And then, or you can get up. And you can rise up and be a man of God. I'm like, oh. Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And at the time, it hit me. But then straight away, my self-talk came back. And like, oh. Like, and then I went back to normal. And I reasoned that, that didn't help me. But where I'm at now, that definitely helped me. Because... Yeah, if he allowed me to keep speaking that stuff out, it would have been permanent in my life, or more permanent in my life. So, and it would have burned bridges, especially in my, for me, like, for my soul, I would have burnt the bridge, and I would have not been able to come back. But yeah, I don't know if that makes sense for people that don't know me and don't know the situation, but
yeah,
So. Confrontation really helped me.
Rebuke, yeah.
Yeah. In the moment, it doesn't make them happy, but it'll, like, tough love is real love. Your heart is, you want them to get up, you know? You want them to be flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated him for it. I hated everyone, but I needed it. So, yeah, that's something that helped.
Yeah. And something really valuable. that Pastor Rod did is that he discerned that Jella needed a rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
Because, one, Pastor Rod has known Jella pretty much his whole life.
Yeah.
Two, Pastor Rod is spiritually discerned enough that he knew and read the situation well. And Holy Spirit probably gave him the green light to rebuke you. So, yeah, you got to time it right. Personally, yeah. Things that didn't help, people who said they were my friend and never messaged me once.
Mm. Yeah.
Family members who said they were family and never called me.
Mm.
Oh. They're in those different states. In those situations and circumstances, you sort of see who's real and who's not, who's just sticking around because it's just convenient. Like with high school and stuff, it's just convenient to have a group of friends and just say that you're friends. After high school, like, you find out who your real friends are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my mates, God bless this man. I was in year 12 6 years ago. And I was just having a catch up with this friend of mine, and we were having a D&M. For those who don't know what a D&M is, it's a deep and meaningful conversation. So we're D&Ming, and we're talking about year 12 and how far we've come. And he goes to me, "Man, like, I remember you'd always spend time in the library just by yourself, and I knew something was wrong. No one." He is the first one of my mates in 6 years who said they noticed something wrong.
Mm.
And when he said that, my heart like sunk because I saw that he was a real friend.
Mm.
And he's we don't like, you know, it's not an everyday sort of talking friendship. Mm. You know, we have lives, we have our own lives, but when we talk, it's like exactly where we left off.
Yeah.
And my friend, he understood. Me and him are very, very similar in our way of thinking. We went through very similar mental states in high school. So we can relate on that level. And having that friend who knows something's wrong, even when you don't say anything, like, keep those guys around. That helped a lot. Another thing is getting planted in a Bible-believing community that actually live the love of Jesus.
Mm.
Not the good vibe sort of Christianity, you know, the real one.
Yeah.
People on fire for Jesus, getting people saved, getting people healed. That Christianity, not the, oh, we have a church camp, you know, and like, oh, we have a conference and this and blah, blah, blah. Like,
those are good.
Those are 100% good. But if that's all Christianity is, then they're missing a lot. They're missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah, go to those conferences. Yeah, go to those church camps. But if it's not, if you're not being, if God, if you feel this is the point I'm saying. Get yourself in a community that is supportive and will push you.
Mm.
And literally go into that pit that you dug yourself into and walk, and they'll walk you out of it.
Yeah.
No matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
I know I'm so thankful for my leaders when I was still youth. They gave me advice. They walked me through the whole situation. They were there when mom died.
Mm-hmm.
They were there every step of the way. They were supportive. I looked up to them. They're like my big brother, big sister. Having that sort of support network is so valuable, and it's so essential to have. And having people to talk to. Who can relate to you. Like Christine was saying, people who just listen.
Mm.
One valuable thing I've learned is if they want you to say something to them and have advice, they'd ask you.
Mm.
Like they'll say, "What do you think?"
That wasn't true for me. Sometimes I'm waiting for people to.
Yeah, to that do it.
That's true.
It goes both ways.
You have to discern.
But, yeah, discernment. There we go. So you need to be spiritually discerning. One thing I've adopted into my lingo is reading the situation well and saying, is there anything I can do to help? And then if they say, well, have you experienced anything like this before? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. If they say, you can't really do anything, like, okay, we can just sit here in silence. That's cool with me. That's fine. We don't have to talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people value just that company. Like, you don't have to talk. It's just the company is good.
Yeah, he does that a lot with me. Because I know him. He's very opinionated and he wants to help. He just wants to help you.
Yeah.
But I am also very opinionated and I don't want to hear his. I don't want to hear his thing. Especially when I'm going through it or like I'm just going through an experience. Sometimes I just have to tell this guy, just be quiet. He's learned. He wasn't very good at it before.
I was terrible.
But he's learned.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to do that, like, other than, like, being there for that person?
Yeah, actually be there for them.
Yeah, it's very important. Like, he eventually learned, like, just ask me, what can I do? Is there anything that I can do? And sometimes it'd be like, I just want a hug or, like, maybe I'm just hungry, get me some food. Or, no, there's nothing you can do, just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there. And then, you know, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So be spiritually discerning. If you're an unbeliever, then essentially what that means is to read the situation well. But reading the situation in your own strength can be very detrimental to you and the relationship that you have with this person. So I highly recommend getting the truth, and his name is Jesus. One thing that's awesome, in the New Testament you can see this pattern that Jesus lives by. He'd create communities of people who were rejected by higher people in the society. Pharisees, and said, who is this that sits with such sinners? And Jesus told them, I've come to seek and save the lost.
Mm.
And you read through the scriptures, he sits with tax collectors, he'd sit with prostitutes, he'd sit with the lame, all these different people, all these people who are rejected by society. He'd sit down with them and have a meal with them.
Mm.
He showed them that he was there for them, that he was for them.
Yeah.
The Samaritan. Not the Samaritan. What's her name? The woman at the well, Syrophoenician or something like that.
Samaritan.
That's the one.
Where'd you get that one?
Syrophoenician.
There's another one. But anyway, yeah, she was she was rejected by society. That's why she was going to the well by herself during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And Jesus was there at the right time.
Yeah.
And he showed that he was there for her. He showed her that he knew her.
Mm.
He showed her that he was the Messiah.
Mm.
And this woman is totally in awe of Jesus just being there for her.
Mm.
Because I bet, you know, I've been rejected before 100%. And being accepted by people, after being rejected for such a long time is such an awesome feeling.
Mm.
You feel affirmed, as like, if it's from God, bro, like, that is next level, and the only level of affirmation you need.
Mm.
Run to God with all this stuff, with all this mental illness and stuff like that. The whole spill of identifying with your mental illness and self-diagnosis and stuff. What does the word say? What does the word say about you? What does the word say about mental illness? That's why you got to search your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to know what God says about you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So I was thinking, and I laughed about one of the things that you talked about, how you've got to ask them what they want before you give it to them. Like, is there any way I could help?
Mm.
I was thinking, so when it comes to me, and I know there's some people like me, if I have to ask, then it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
If I have to ask for a hug, then it's not the same hug. Versus they discern. So it's very important to discern.
Yes.
Yes.
Spiritual discernment.
That was it. Oh, jeez. That was the thing with me as well. The only reason now, like, I'm okay with asking is because he's so good at it. And he would refuse to leave me without, like, helping in some sort of way. And yeah. I don't like having to ask. I expect him to know. And he can't, the thing is, he can't read my mind. Yeah. Yeah. It's not his fault. But it's like, I expect something out of him that he can't fulfill. So it definitely goes two ways. I'd had to learn how to say what I want or like ask for what I want. And he had to learn that, like, I can't do that sometimes. Yeah. But it's just, yeah, it all has to do with discernment, I think. It's,
discernment.
Especially when you're in a good relationship with someone, you just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you understand the way their mind works.
Yeah,
you understand
their mannerisms.
Yeah. All the different things. Like there's moments in me and Christine's relationship where I'm like, oh, she's hungry. we need to get food. Or she's like, or, you know, we've... There's a bunch of times where we'd have dinner, we're in the car ride home and we're like, oh, do you want dessert? And like, and she'd be like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'd say, this is just an example. I'd say, do you want a, what's the thing from Hungry Jack's? The
sticky date.
Sticky
That's
date.
Really good.
And then she'd be like, how did you know? I was like, see, because we just know each other. And that's how that when you have that level of friendship with people and you just know what they need before they even ask it, bro, that's the father's heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Having that relationship with the father as well.
Yeah.
Having words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words, all these different things that the Holy Spirit will give you. Like that is going to help this person immensely. Yeah. Find out what God says. Find out what he has to say about the situation. You know, when Christine and I were going through it, you know, we'd have our own episodes and stuff. When Christine was having her episodes and being newly Christian and super arrogant and super full of pride, I try to jam the gospel at her. And she's like, I don't want to hear that right now. I'm like, that's all I know. Like, it's super like, we're super strong-willed, the both of us. And we'd butt heads all the time.
Yeah, and then during that time, I didn't have... like really any relationship with God. And when he's ramming Jesus down my throat, that just like what that just confirms the fact that I don't have a relationship, and that's where I wanted to be. And the fact that he seemed so in love with God and I didn't have that made me furious. It made me so jealous. And he'd be like, God loves you, you know who you are, this is the... I'm like, I don't know who I am, stop saying this. And I would say, I like,
we fought about it a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And I'd like, we had like a really big fight because I stayed silent for so long because you know, you can't really blame someone for talking about Jesus. It's Jesus. Like, if someone loves Jesus that much, they can't help but talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not their fault. So, but when it was me and it, like, it just made me feel so bad because that's not where I'm at.
Yeah.
So, just, I had to be like, when you talk about Jesus, it makes me feel so little. When really it should be making you feel big, but I'm just not there yet. So if you, show, it's good that you talk about Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus too. But like, don't.
Bible bash.
It was a big thing with me.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel so powerless.
Yeah.
One thing that I understand now is not to just do it by word, but do it by deed. If you do it by words alone, and your actions don't follow through with it, then you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So love by what you do first.
Yeah.
Start doing that, and they'll see that what you're saying is the truth. You know, like Christine said, you don't have to even mention Jesus sometimes. You just have to show them. You just be Jesus for them. Because he's inside of you. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who's inside of you. That's mm-hmm. the mystery that's been hidden for generations and now revealed to us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like, it's super cliche, but what would Jesus do? Think about it. If you study out his humanity in the Gospels and what he did to all these different people who were broken, like, for example, the lady who was caught in adultery, Jesus says to all these people, all these Pharisees, the people high up in the law, you who are without sin, throw the first stone. And every single one walked away. And the one person who had every right to throw the stone at her was Jesus, because he was without sin. And at the same time, he did it. And he loved her. And he goes to this lady, has no one condemned you? She said, no one. And he says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus knew this woman. Why? Because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He knew this woman already before the foundation of the world. He knew this situation. He knew it. And he knew what that woman needed. She needed redemption.
Yeah.
She needed an uplifting. She needed a fresh rhema word from God.
Yeah.
And having that said from the Savior of the world, after having Pharisees who know the law inside and out, and seeing that change and that shift from the Savior of the world versus the Pharisees, that would have changed her life forever.
Yeah.
So having Jesus's input is crucial to getting someone out of that situation.
Yeah. There was this guy who was sharing to me, I forgot his name already, but he was saying, if I just say my own words to this person, like they have barriers that they've built up. But then as soon as I get a word from God, it just cuts through everything.
Yeah.
And it pierces all that and goes straight to their heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're after that word because it's good. Have we gotten everything we wanted to say out?
Have we?
I think so.
I think I'll end it with this statement. So it's if... Something this guy, one of the other guys who was friends with this guy, who I've forgotten the name of, he said that if God's after the broken-hearted, the contrite heart, he's not really after those amazing people who's got it all together. He wants someone who's broken, right? And through his strength is perfected in weakness. So he's after those people. Those with a humble and contrite heart. And I know from my story, God, like, I only started to experience God, like, once I reached the end of myself. Like, I know it's been said like that a lot of times, but I was broken. And then God fixed me. And then that's when I started to see God really, like, tangibly in my life. So anyone who's going through that stuff, I just wanted to encourage you that if you're going through that stuff, you're marked. You know, you are really just so close for that huge breakthrough. And I'm really excited for that. He's not after the people that have it all together, who know the Bible back to front, who's, you know, A+ student. You know, that he's after the people who are humble, contrite, and just willing to lean into him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Yeah, so we'll end it here and we'll get Gerard to pray.
Cool. Thank you, Jesus. So if you haven't made Jesus your best friend, if you haven't made him your Lord and your Savior, this will be the best decision you will make in your entire lifetime.
Yeah.
I know when I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, one revelation I got was that in the storm, he's my raincoat. The storm's still there, but he's there to protect me. And if you're going through something like depression, anxiety, psychosis, any of the above, any mental illness, God will set you free. We're going to pray that you are set free right now. You don't have to live tomorrow in the depression, but you have to fight. Now, it won't be, you know, you could actually feel something come over you. You might not. For me, I definitely felt it leave me. But it's a battle. Fight. You have to fight. Don't. This is your last day of being weak. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are strong. You are strong and no devil can come near you. No devil can harm you because Jesus is protecting you. So, if you'd like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today, pray this with me. Say this. Say, Lord, I confess all my wrongdoing, everything I've done wrong in my life. And I turn away from those things and I choose to live right. I choose to live for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I receive you in Jesus' name. And I receive your Holy Spirit to fill me in Jesus' name. Wash me clean, Lord, in Jesus' name. I am your child in Jesus' name. I am a son or a daughter of the Most High King. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Yeah. Welcome to the family of God. Okay, so I'm going to keep praying as well. I'm going to pray over you. Now, wherever you are, if you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes because that's dangerous, right? But if you're just in your room, you know, if you're driving, you can pause this, go home, and then find a quiet place to sit down. It can even be the bathroom. It can be your room. It can be a closet. It can be, you know, a spare room. Find a place where you can just get quiet. You can get still, right? And go and just listen to these words. And I promise you, Jesus will set you free right now. Mm. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. My friend, won't you just put your hand on your heart and your head? Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for my friend listening on the other side of this. Father, you have predestined them to listen to this part of the podcast. You have predestined them to listen to this and to be set free today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of depression, every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of psychosis. In the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit, every power of hell that has been thrusted upon my friend on the other side of this line, in the name of Jesus, you shut up, you get out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You did not give this man, you did not give this woman, you did not give my friend a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So I speak soundness of mind into my friend in the name of Jesus right now. Be set free, be healed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And I rebuke and I forbid every spirit that I just cast out to come back into you. In the name of Jesus, get out of the country, get out of this premises, and never, ever, 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 ever return. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the fire of God. Be filled with Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at harvestnowchurch@gmail.com to suggest a topic to talk about or ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.